Hi, my name is Richard Crawford, host of Supply and Demand Show, an enlightening webcast show where we delve into the dynamic world of the global supply chain, where we navigate through the complexities, disruptions, and innovations that shape this vital network of interconnected businesses. From sourcing raw materials to delivering finished products, we'll uncover the challenges that arise at each stage and explore the strategies for optimizing efficiency and sustainability. And each week, we'll highlight and discuss a specific supply chain event. And of course, I'll be joined each week in each episode by my co-host and resident supply chain expert, the man, the myth, the legend himself, founder and CEO of the Atlas Network, Kareem Kafuri. Kareem, how are you?
Doing well. How are you, Richard? Always good to be here. Doing a great job as always.
Right. We're having fun with this, aren't we?
It's a blast. I mean, we've got a great format here. We've got great guests. I mean, you know, it's growing. People are really asking for more great content, and we're happy to deliver it. So we're here.
Yeah. When we put these episodes out, our listeners are like really getting in, really getting engaged with them. So send us messages, they'll ask us questions, they ask for follow-up, they ask for a lot of our guests' information, even though we give it to them at the end, they ask for a follow-up. So it's been good so far, and we will hope to continue that. So at this point, let's bring in today's guest. Today's guest is Joseph Bozo. And Joseph is head of sales at Global VP at Dropit. And Joseph's career in supply chain management and logistics has been marked by an upward trajectory of strategic leadership and innovative entrepreneurship. His foundational experience as a general manager, followed by vice president role within the retail sector, has provided him with deep operational insights. Driven to explore the multifaceted nature of the supply chain intricacies, Joseph established and grew his own linens logistic business. His journey then advanced to Gartner Supply Chain Tech, where he worked intimately with industry practitioners and solution providers, gleaning a nuanced understanding of the challenges that supply chain professionals face daily. His career progressed at Project 44, pretty cool, where he was instrumental in advancing visibility solutions, particularly in the over-the-road and ocean freight modalities. Now, Joseph's ascent continued as he took on a leadership sales role at Vizion API, and now, currently in his role as the head of sales and global VP at Dropit. Joseph, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Pleasure being here. Thanks for having me.
Man, you have gone from, you've worked in every aspect of this industry at every level. I think in there it said you started as a janitor somewhere.
Yeah, when you put it that way, I start thinking maybe I went to too many companies too fast, but as a whole, it gave me some really good insight into supply chain, so I'm happy about where I've been so far.
Well, we're very honored that you've come on the show. You're a very, very good guest for us, and we're looking forward to everything that you have to say. Kareem, how good is it to have Joseph?
No, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. I mean, it's pretty neat. We've been having actually several guests on the show, and kind of we've been interviewing from the Project 44 side of things. We had Bart DeMunk not too long ago, who was on, so I'm sure you probably know him as well. And actually Josh Brazil, who does a lot of our PR work with Charlie Pesty, also was over there for a bit. So I'm sure that was probably a pretty good experience while you were there. We enjoyed meeting with you, Joseph, when we were in Manifest, which seems like it was long time ago, but it wasn't all that long ago. But a million things have happened since there. TPM happened in the middle, and some other events have been going on in the industry, which has been pretty great. But I think we had a great interview on camera together, which we did put out. A lot of people were very receptive to it. Actually, your interview was one of the most well-viewed ones, and we got a lot of good commentary about it. And, again, just happy to have you on the show, and excited to hear your take on what's going on in your space, your industry, your company. Tell us a little bit about what you've been up to.
Yeah, so it's obviously head of sales at Dropit. We've been working a lot with retailers, but I think ultimately we're probably all thinking and discussing the same thing these days, right? And I started thinking about just a few years ago when I told people when I was in supply chain and everyone looked at me like I had three heads. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's no toilet paper at Costco and people are interested. Hey, tell me about what you do. But what's been interesting for me, because I've been able to sit kind of from the outside in through my experience at Gartner with the visibility companies you mentioned, with my own experience as an entrepreneur, to understand a little bit differently what's going on in the world. And I think as of a few years ago, global supply chains were sort of thrusted into the spotlight very abruptly. And so I think that's great for folks like us, because, and you all have been in probably this industry much longer than I have, I think, but it was great to have that awareness. But what it also did was expose some vulnerabilities with these unprecedented disruptions. And so I've been trying to learn more about that, right? Because with geopolitical chess games we're playing now with like the Red Sea and, you know, logistical experiences I had to face at Vision with, you know, Suez Canal blockage and all these ongoing trade tensions, I'm trying to sort out as a technology vendor, as someone that kind of knows technology, how do we kind of be more resilient and adaptive to this using technology, right? And now, Kareem, I've been following a lot of your stuff too with the nearshoring, the shift there, right? What's going on? But I think what's interesting to me, especially where I am, I try not to speak from a sales perspective, even though I've been in sales my whole life, but there's now a new era of digital transformation, digital revolution, industry 4.0, whatever you want to call it, where I think technology is sort of becoming these linchpins to the responses of these particular challenges. And so I think what I've been trying to do and relay back to even customers of our own is, you know, with investment with AI and IoT and advanced analytics, we don't have to be reactive all the time anymore, right? Enough of that, right? Now we can anticipate, we can adapt and maybe start overcoming some of these challenges. And so I've been trying to do that. I spoke at Rela a few weeks ago as well, and it was less about the drop fit side of the business, but it was more about, hey, what's going on in terms of disruptions and how we start mitigating these problems?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's we're in interesting times. I mean, you know, there are some things that we can control, obviously, with technology, and that's wonderful. And there are some things that are just on the planet and the way the world works, especially when you're doing cross-border, you know, procurement and sourcing and supply chain related work that sort of falls in the realm of sort of force majeure. And how do you just basically hedge these scenarios? And we'll probably get into some of these questions when we get to the next segment of the show. But exciting times for all of us. I mean, you know, I always say that, you know, the most exciting part about kind of working or being in the supply chain is putting on the fireman's outfit every day. And what fires are we putting out? Because, you know, if it was easy, everybody would do it, and or they would all do it themselves. You know, our world all revolves around helping people to do it and build their supply chains and manage them and navigate those, because they may not have the resources or capabilities or know-how to do so. Technology is going to resolve some of those things, going to shorten up that gap to a degree, but there's still these things that happen in the world, you know, and it'll be interesting to know how through tech we will resolve or shorten up those, you know, extenuating circumstances that no one can really predict.
So that being said, Kareem, I'm curious, Joseph. So obviously the two biggest headlines, and you both, you know, talked about it there, are AI and technology. Mm-hmm. Outside of those two, what would you say was the biggest headline in the industry today? We've been hearing from every guest. We went to Manifest. All you hear is AI. All you hear is technology. But I'm really curious, outside of those two things, what are some of the biggest headlines in the industry, especially from your point of view?
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of things. Number one, yeah, outside of AI, and I think AI, we talked about on the positive aspect a lot, but there's also some dangers. Kareem, you had a great webinar on this, right? I think you used, trying to remember the word, but I love the word. I think it was either fascinated or we're dazzled by AI, something along those lines. But then, of course, we start thinking about regions and a uniform coding of cultures. Are we moving too fast in one direction? And then maybe causing more pain because of all these disruptions. So I think that's been big, but maybe we need to talk more about the other side. The other side would be kind of nearshoring, right? I think that's the other thing that's been a major headline. Now supply chain networks are just changing all across the board. And I think there's been conversations about, you know, how China is going to react to this. But China is also smart. They're doing nearshoring tactics too, right? They're making these changes. They're doing things like we're doing things. They're building hubs in Mexico. So I think that's one thing that's kind of coming up. And now we're starting to learn a little bit more. Or what about Mexico, right? There's the foundation seems to be being built there. But my always concern is, well, now that there's more competition, wages increase, is it even cost effective anymore to be in those regions? So that's some things that we're starting to talk about. And I think it's starting to evolve, right? It's like, okay, nearshore, move things out, diversify your suppliers. Sounds easy. It's not so easy. And then we also have these other issues that come up as they arise. So that's been a part of conversation. I've been following you all as well with supply chain radar and all those other things, but I think that's been one topic that's been highlighted more frequently than others as well.
Well, very, very insightful. All right, Joseph, we've taken it easy on you up until this point. Now comes the hard part.
It's getting harder.
Now comes the high pressure part of the show. All right, my friend, we're going to ask you three questions and you're going to answer them within 5 minutes. And I'll tell you that the closest anybody's got to 5 minutes was Katie Date, who did it in 4 minutes and 58 seconds. So that is the
bar
to beat right now, man.
I have to have perfection. So I think I might filibuster a little bit.
I hope you've been practicing for like 4 hours before it. All right.
We'll see what happens. Sure.
All right, the clock starts now. How does technology reduce today's manual efforts?
So I think digital technology, right, it's going to play a crucial role regardless. Just streamlining supply chain operations for us. But I think by its very nature, right, it's designed to just to significantly reduce manual efforts, not even just in supply changes, across the board, because it allows for automation and visibility and things like that. And so when I think back to my experiences and how it's actually reduced manual efforts, me looking from the outside in, you know, I think about Project 44, who traditionally with logistics stakeholders, they'd also, you know, they'd engage in time consuming communications. Where's my stuff? WISMO, ETAs, right? So there's a lot of back and forth processes. But then digital platforms like Project 44, they automated the communication processes. So now they offered real time visibility into shipment statuses. Same goes to my experience at Vision, where before the advent of kind of container tracking capabilities, logistics personnel, they'd go on and briefly check carrier websites. Where's my stuff? Again, report container location statuses, inaccurate data. So Vision kind of enabled to standardize that. And the same goes when I think about my other one, right? Where I'm doing today at Dropit, where leveraging AI and tools like that for decision-making kind of exemplifies those manual efforts and complex fulfillment processes. So there's a plethora of use cases that allow for it, but at the very base nature of it, technology makes the tedious task not exist anymore, right? And starting that automation process.
All right, I'm gonna give you number two here, Joseph. What sort of disruptions can technology help mitigate?
So we've talked about, I think, a few at the front of the call, but when I think about some of the things that have happened, China, those trade tensions that are happening today, right? I think there's a couple of things that are happening there. One example I would say, in response to those trade tensions, digital marketplaces that are powered by AI, right? Big data analytics, things like that, that offer kind of a diverse array of vendors that kind of quickly identify and build alternative options that are out there. I think that's one thing we've seen that is not talked about as much, but probably should be. There's also logistical challenges, of course, right? So back to Suez Canal, this was a big deal for us at Vision with container tracking, right? Companies were leveraging AI at this time and using machine learning, they were able to be more dynamic. Better route optimization, things like that, able to reroute ships through obstruction. I think folks that were ahead of the game during that time period were the ones that really kind of stood apart. And then, of course, you know, COVID, you know, that's a disruption that's always going to, I think we're still feeling the pain and turbulence and of that. But those unprecedented fluctuations in consumer demand, right, particularly, you know, within vaccines and groceries, you know, retailers started using IoT sensors for demand sensing technologies. They were able to be more optimal and efficient as well.
All right, so I'm going to ask the third question. I will tell you, you've only gone through half your time, so you still have a little bit of extra time to answer this. So what are some examples and impacts that companies have today due to digital transformation?
So we love, and I'm going to take my time on this one because I didn't realize I had so much time, so I got to try and win this thing. We love Abercrombie at our company, right? We work with retailers, mostly in the large enterprise space. But what we love about Abercrombie is they use AI tech, but what they understand is it's if the data is not organized, right? If it's not organized in the right way with the right governance, right quality, if it's not centralized, it renders somewhat useless. This is an organization now that about half their business is online. And so they've got a plan right now. It's called the Always Forward Plan. If you listen to some of their webcasts or webinars, they talk about this really, really well in detail. But one of the pillars that they use, of the three pillars, is sort of enterprise-wide digital revolution. And what they're saying with that is they're looking inside, right, the company. A lot of folks are focused on the customer, which is important as well, but they're looking how they can automate and move to the cloud. And so they're really trailblazers, I think, in a way, And I think also, I think about some of the other examples, because we work a lot with fashion retailers at Dropit. You know, before using Dropit's technology, you know, these fashion retailers, they had all these manual processes that we talked about, right? And very disparate, siloed systems. You had an OMS that did something exceptionally well. You had point of sale system that did something exceptionally well, right? All these things didn't talk. There was no harmony. And so, you know, the traditional approach, it was very time consuming, a lot of data entry. And what we're trying to do is just optimize that, right? Inventory adjustments, fulfillment through kind of an autopilot system. That's what we're looking to solve. So, I don't know how I am on time. I was trying to filibuster a little bit, but I think I cut myself a little short there.
All right. I'm going to cut it there right now. And the good news is everything you said was very insightful and wonderful to listen to. The bad news for you is not even close.
Man, I thought about putting a timer right here, but yeah. I didn't do it. I thought one would pop up on the screen to help me out.
I will tell you this. You are within 30 seconds of the time. So, you know, you're in that.
My only goal was to beat Bart, because he's a good friend of mine. Obviously, worked at P44 in Gartner, but now he's going to hold it against me.
I forget what Bart was. We're going to have to go back and look at that for sure.
Yeah, we'll look back. You may have beat him out.
You got to give somebody the bragging rights, right?
That's right.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up here, Joseph. Although it looks like I like that sweater you have on. Are you going golfing? Come on, be honest.
No, if I was, you wouldn't want to watch me play. I am the worst golfer, but I keep trying. I'll keep trying, but I'll never get under 100. Let's put it that way.
You're in Texas, man. It's year round golf.
It is, and right now it's beautiful, mid 70s. I should get out there and check practice.
But Richard, this man does work. He doesn't.
Oh play yeah.
That's right.
He actually is a working man.
I've got three little kids. I don't got time to golf.
That's the real time hole. I mean, you can work on the golf course. You can't watch three kids on the golf course.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
All right, Joseph. Well, again, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to have you on here. As Kareem had mentioned before, we met you at Manifest and really hit it off there. And today's been fantastic and very much appreciated. Yeah. But before we go, how can people get a hold of you, Joseph?
Yeah, so dropit.shop. One mistake I made on interview is at dropit.com. You'd think it's head of sales, I'd get that correct, but it's dropit.shop. That's how you can find our website. You can plug in some information. I always like to connect on LinkedIn first and foremost, just to have a conversation and learn from people's businesses. So if you find me at Joseph Bazzo on LinkedIn, we can start a conversation that way as well.
Perfect. And Kareem, what about you? How can people get a hold of you?
Our website is theatlasnetwork.com or on LinkedIn as well. For Kareem Kafouri is where you can find me.
Fantastic. All right. With that, we'll say thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for watching and listening. And just a reminder that each week we'll have a very special guest on to continue our conversation in the fascinating world of the global supply chain.